Good morning, and thank you for joining us online this morning, whether you are young or old, whether you are a new or mature Christian, or not even a Christian at all. You're most welcome to be with us this morning. My name's Barry. I'm one of the local preachers down at St. Andrews. And this morning we've got Peter, our curate, who's going to bring us some information and open up the Psalm 77, part of our series on the Psalms. And this one's a really gutsy psalm, so if you're still with us then, that's something to look forward to. So let's start our service this morning by opening ourselves up. It's a special day today, of course. Some of you will have remembered it's in fact Father's Day, and that may be good or bad depending on your experience of your father. But we do have in God our Heavenly Father, the best of the best of the best fathers. So let's open ourselves up this morning and worship our God. God, we come to you this morning a pretty mixed up and assorted bunch of folks. Some of us are happy, some of us are sad, some excited, some are worried. Yet we all come hoping that we can raise our spirits to you this morning, Father God. We are here in our homes wanting to meet with you afresh this morning, and so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come alongside us, to help us to empty our minds of the stuff that stops us worshipping you, so that we can worship you afresh and see you in all your glory and all your magnificence, and worship you as you deserve. Amen. Well, we've all got a father, of course, an earthly father. I'm an earthly father to my daughter, Rosie. She married Rob, who's the earthly father to Otis. And they sent me a short clip of a song they sung for their church. And it's all about us being little lights shining for Jesus. I think most of you will probably know this. So it's great fun. And the first part of our service is, in fact, aimed at not young people, but those who are young at heart. So join in with this. And if you've got a trumpet, as you'll see in a moment, so much the better. Let your little light shine. Well, as one of the psalms goes, praise him on the trumpet and the harp, which is great. Not so great if you happen to be their neighbours, I'm sure. I don't think living in a small flat in London and learning the trumpet is perhaps the best instrument, but there you go. That's great, isn't it? Talking of families, we have quite a few families in Malvern involved in our churches who are home for good families. We are, in fact, an official home for good church. And Home for Good represents an organisation started by Chris Kandaya, which seeks to find a home for every child that needs one in the UK. 40,000 children and young people come into care every year. And Home for Good, and I'm sure we too, want a stable and loving home where each one of those children can thrive. And I'm delighted to say that we've got three of our young people, Home for Good young people, represented here this morning, and they're going to bring out some Home for Good Father's Day prayers for us.
Dear God, we thank you that we are able to be called your children. However young or old we are, we thank you that wherever you see us in the world, you want us in your family. Amen.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for the men in our lives who have helped us. We thank you for earthly fathers and carers, for uncles, grandfathers, and the many men who've helped us in our lives. Amen.
Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for helping lonely children find families to belong to. We thank you also for those people who reach out to children who need help. We pray especially for children who are lonely today and ask that you help find a home for every child that needs one. Amen.
Well, thank you, Skye and Alfie and Charlotte, for bringing us those prayers. And it's good and right and proper that we should ask God to help us to find homes for every child that needs one. In a moment, our young people are going to go out and do their possibly much more exciting stuff, I don't know. But before you go, we've got a testimony. We like testimonies and stories of what people have been doing. And this is a short story, a testimony about how somebody has been managing their time during the lockdown. Well, good morning, everybody. I don't know if you recognise this little fellow here, but he has been around a few times at St Andrews. His name is Trevor Rodent. Oh, sorry, Rodent. A bit posh, is that, Trevor? And he's come here today to tell us a little bit about his experiences during lockdown. Now, Trevor, for many of us, lockdown's been quite difficult. We've had people working on the front line and doing stuff for our communities. You've been on the front line too. Well, that's really good. I'm really pleased. So what have you been doing? You've been guarding the cheese shop. Right, and who asked you to do that? The owner of the cheese shop asked you to do that, didn't he? Well, that's really good, Trevor. It was an important job, I'm sure it was. And you did this very well, I gather. Yes, you were there every day. Yes, very good. And what did the cheese owner say when he got back after his break? Where's all the cheese gone? Okay. Trevor, did you by any chance take the cheese? No. It just disappeared, did it? On its own. And did you by any chance ask God for guidance while you were working in the cheese shop? You did. Well, that's really impressive, Trevor, because for many of us, you know, we pray and we ask God's guidance on things. And it's really important in our lives that we do. So, Trevor, you did ask God for guidance, did you? No, I thought not. I thought not. Trevor, you've been fibbing to me, haven't you? You've been fibbing. Sorry about this, folks. It's been a bit of a handful this morning. Well, for me anyhow. So, Trevor, I think we need to maybe say sorry to God, don't we? And the good thing about saying sorry to God is that whenever we do, he's always prepared to forgive us. And that's good news. So, Trevor, why don't we say a little prayer, asking God to forgive us. You'd like that, okay. You'd like to say the prayer, would you? Well, I think maybe this time I better do it. So why don't we all close our eyes just for a moment and we can ask God for forgiveness for things we've done. So, Lord Jesus, we come to you today in a funny old time of lockdown. And we pray, Father, that you might be with us during these difficult times. We thank you, Lord God, that when we come to you, you're always there for us. You forgive us the times we've done wrong when we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, we don't fool anybody when we tell fibs and lies, a bit like Trevor was doing just now. And he's sorry for that, Lord, and we're sorry for the times we do it because we can't fool you. And you know us, as we learned in the Psalms a couple of weeks ago, you know us inside out. And so, Father, we do offer you now those things that we know are not right in our lives. And we lift those to you, Father, and we say we're sorry for them. And we ask you to forgive us. And we ask you to forgive us in Jesus' name. Amen. You like that prayer, Trevor? Well, I'm glad you did. And you like it especially because God forgives us and lets us start again. He does. Every time we say sorry, God lets us start again. You want to work in the cheese shop again, do you, Trevor? Well, I think there's a conversation to be had there with the cheese shop owner, but maybe we'll see him later today. So I think it's time to say goodbye to your friends, and we'll see them another day, maybe. God bless. Bye. Well, thank you, Mr. Trevor Rodent, for that helpful story about your experiences during the lockdown. And now our young people are going to leave and do their own thing with all the material that you can find on our website. And let me just pray for you as you leave. Father God, thank you so much for families. Thank you so much for our young people. And our children in our church, they bring us such joy. And Lord, would you be with them now and fill them with your spirit as they worship you and learn more about you in their time with their parents and carers as they study the material that Helen so kindly provided. Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen. It's great that we're doing a series on the Psalms, because what the Psalms do is open up the full range of human experience and human emotion before God. And it kind of links to our worship block that we're about to have now, because though you see in the songs that the band records, you see the sort of top half of people, what you don't see is what lies behind or what lies within. And here's a photograph just to show you of Deb playing the piano. And what I love about this, apart from the fact it's my wife and I love her, is the fact that she's wearing these lovely slippers. And I couldn't think why it appealed to me, and it kept coming back to me, this image. And I realised in the end that it was like God saying, this is how I want you to come to me in worship, just as you are. No pretense, no false finery. So if you're wearing slippers this morning, be assured that God loves you. And our first worship song talks about our sort of humility before God. It says, who am I that you, the highest king, would welcome me? And the song goes on to express confidence that God is our Father. And in Jesus, we are set free to be his children. So on this Father's Day, let us celebrate being children of the best of the best of the best fathers.
He has ransomed me with his grace. Thank you.
You lift my head, you wipe my tears, you restore my soul. There are many people in the world, and this song helps us to focus not on ourselves, but others as well. And so we've got the Finn family now to bring us our prayers of intercession, where we focus on the needs of others.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a gracious and merciful Father. We pray for blessing over our community. We pray for families, for parents and children struggling with home learning. We ask that you bless businesses who are just beginning to open up after lockdown. We pray for our schools, energy for the teachers and support staff. We pray over decisions to be made regarding education and how the curriculum should look going forward. Bless the children at home or at school that they will learn well.
We thank you for our NHS and we pray for the staff and other key workers who have tirelessly kept our country going. Give them the strength and resilience they need to continue. Lord, we ask for a God-fearing government to lead our nation. We pray that you'll equip our leaders with wisdom and discernment to enable them to make good decisions in line with your will.
We pray for a vaccination or a cure for COVID-19. For those who are shielding, we ask for protection. We thank you, God, that you are the healer, and we thank you for your provision, the skills and facilities involved in this process. We are grateful, Lord, for your unfailing love, compassion and wisdom that you supply. And we pray especially for those who are suffering loss.
We also lift up those who are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally and spiritually at this time, within our families, amongst our friends and in our neighbourhoods. Thank you that you always hear us when we call upon your name, Jesus. We pray for unity, solidarity and against loneliness in our world. We pray over Black Lives Matter. We pray against racial discrimination and injustice. And we pray for world peace.
Today especially, we remember the father figures in our lives. We thank you for all the good men who have parented and cared for us and are good role models. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father who loves us. Help us to trust you and enter into a deeper relationship with you, knowing that your arms are open wide to receive us and we can call you Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord.
We pray for our church leaders, for Dave and for Peter, for Eddie with the youth, for everyone who is working behind the scenes serving our community. We lift up anyone who we know who is suffering or in need. Lord, we ask you to minister to their needs. We thank you for our church family and all the ways in which you bless us. We ask that you help us to bless others in our neighbourhood. Help us to be good witnesses for you and for us to grow in confidence as we have opportunities to reach out and bless people.
Lord, teach us to engage with your Holy Spirit as our guide, our comforter in our praying and in our daily problems, leading us to focus more on you, Jesus. We ask all these things in your name, Jesus. And so let's pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
It's so good that Peter has chosen a psalm with some real, I think I described it as guts to it. It starts with a cry of anguish and distress, and the psalmist has been experiencing profound difficulties, and his cries to God appear to have been ignored. So settle down and listen now as Chris will bring us this psalm, and then Peter will unpack it for us.
Today's reading is Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everybody. Can I encourage you to have a Bible with you out at Psalm 77, which is the psalm we're going to be looking at this morning. But before I begin, let me pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we welcome you now. May we encounter you in this psalm. May we discover new riches of who you are and encounter you in this psalm this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me ask you, when was the last time you had a really good rant at God? When did you last pour out your heart, whether that be an outpouring of rage or of thanksgiving and gratitude? Or when did you express your despair and sorrow? Or when did you last just abandon yourself in praise to God? When did you last shout at God? When did you last laugh and weep with God in your times of prayer and conversation with him? Now, I know that none of that is very British, and I'm guessing that for most of us, we don't often pray in those very animated ways. I'm guessing that for most of us, our prayer times are quite, how shall I put it, English? Slightly reserved, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's the case. But I might suggest that we are limiting ourselves and our experience if that's the only way that we converse and pray with God. God created us with a wide range of emotions and feelings. And as relational beings, God is desperate for us to relate in all and through all our emotions, to be fully human when we're with him. The beauty of the Psalms is that they are so full of raw emotion, uncensored feelings. And as the writers come to God with their pain, their confusion, their joy and their praise, there is the full breadth of human emotion to be found here. Personally, to be honest, it's only in the last 6 or 7 years that I've really embraced the Psalms and found them as a place and a great source of solace, particularly in the difficult times, to find Psalms that perhaps desperately speak of what I'm feeling, but I don't always have the chance or the ability to communicate. So this is why I've chosen Psalm 77, and I wonder what it's going to teach you this morning. But let me share a couple of things that I hope you can see and learn from it. There are two things that I hope by the end you'll be encouraged by. The first thing is that the psalm encourages us to fully be ourselves in our prayers and conversations with God. That's the first thing. And the second is it teaches us how to not to become overwhelmed by our circumstances. So those are the two things I hope that we will pick out of this. So let's look at this psalm, Psalm 77, that was read to us earlier. There are three core parts to this psalm. The first part, the beginning, is where the author, the psalmist, is crying out in his anguish. That's the verses 1 to 9. And then the psalm ends with the psalmist praising and worshipping God. And that's verses 13 to 20. And the third part is the middle part, verses 10, 11 and 12. And what I've come to call the hinge within this psalm, it's the place where the psalm swings in mood from anguish to praise. And we'll look at that in just a moment. So let's look at each of these parts, and we'll start with the first part. Initially, the psalmist, the author, is pouring out their heart in great anguish. They're crying out to God as it begins. I cry out to God for help. They are in distress. They're groaning and growing faint and weary, verse 3 says, and saying that they are too troubled even to speak. Verse 4. In verse 7, the author starts to question God's character. What happened to his unfailing love? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Where is his compassion? He even asks, is God so angry with him that he's walked away completely? He's not there at all. Where are you, God, in circumstances? Ultimately, we can see that the author is bewildered by the apparent lack of action by God, by a sense of God's presence or lack of God's presence in his circumstances. The author seems perplexed by the absence of God. Have you ever felt like that? Do I even need to expect an answer? Of course, we've all felt that. We don't know the specific trouble that this particular psalmist is referring to, but scholars think it's likely that it relates to the exile, Israel's exile, the time when the Babylonian Empire conquered Jerusalem and the Promised Land, and Jerusalem is destroyed, and many of the leaders of the Israelites have been taken into exile into Babylon. I looked up the definition of exile, and it said, exile is a time of banishment or a time of separation. Banishment and separation. Have any of you felt like you've been in a time of exile? many of the churches globally are reflecting and having a sense that God's people are in exile now. And I think we should take that extremely seriously, because biblically, exiles come as part of judgment, because God's people have been have not remained holy and have not remained in line with God's guidance and his will. And whatever the cause of exiles, they are definitely times that bring great disturbance. And I spoke about disturbance some weeks ago. Exiles are times of great change and times of great reflection. No difficulty in me saying that lockdown has certainly been an exile for us all. But what about other exiles in your lives? In the past, maybe you're experiencing at the moment, and we will all experience in the future. What do I mean? What about joblessness? An exile from work, bereavement, an exile through separation from loved ones. What about broken relationships or financial difficulties that have exiled us from prosperity and provision? Despair and depression that exiles us from hope. And there are many other causes of exile that we may have experienced. Whatever our exile in the past, now or in the future that we may experience, we can, dare I say, we must cry out to God. We must pour out our emotions to be true to God in our full humanity, just as the psalmist in Psalm 77 is at the beginning of this psalm. So that's the first part of the psalm, this anguish, this bewilderment by the psalmist. The second part is the end part that I want to talk to. This is a complete shift in emphasis. In contrast, the psalmist, the author, is praising God and declaring that in verse 13, that God is holy, that God is so great. God who performs miracles. He's the mighty God. He's the redeeming God. He's the God that creates and is over all things. And though he doesn't use the word literally, he refers to the good shepherd that leads his people. That's the final verse, verse 20. The God who leads his people, cares for, guides, oversees his people. It's quite interesting that the first half of the psalm, the psalmist is talking about God in a third person, a sort of horizontal plane. And this second half of the psalm, he is talking to God. There is a praise, there's a vertical dimension to the language. It's a very distinct shift. So you have these two very different halves of the psalm. And the middle bit, the third bit, is the great hinge, verses 10 and 11. This is what I've called the hinge. The mood swings from something of anguish to something of praise and worship. We read in verse 10, the distinctive moment where then the author has been crying out to God, confused and hurt, but then something happens. The author says, then I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? The author then makes a choice. There is an act of the author's will. Against all the emotion and the pain and the confusion, the author decides something. What do they decide? Verse 11, I will remember. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember the miracles that the God has done. I will meditate and consider all God's mighty deeds. The author shifts their focus from their own situation. They were previously absorbed by their emotions and feelings. But here, the writer shifts the attention that is focused on themselves and shifts it back onto God. It's an act of choice, an act of will. They set their emotions aside, whether wrapped up in their own world, their own perplexity and bewilderment and confusion and anguish, and they reshift onto God. They put God back in the centre of the story and remove themselves from the centre of the story. In doing this, something changes. And it isn't God that changes. It's the psalmist, it's the author that changes. He shifts from himself in the focus on himself back onto the things of God. I want you to place yourself into the place of the psalmist and the author, if you haven't already done it. Where you've been someone who's been in that place of anguish. And you're now going to put God back into the centre. We need to remember God and remember him and his character. And it's an act of our will, a choice. We're not led by our emotions. We make a decision. Last week, Reverend David Ritchie was teaching out of Psalm 103, calling us not to forget to remember, was his title. In other words, remember who God is. Remember what he has done. Put God back in the centre of the story, not ourselves. The call in this psalm is exactly the same. Pour out your pain. Pour out your anguish. Yes, that's really, really important. But we don't stay there. At some point, we need to make a choice to remember and to meditate on the person and the character of God and put him back into the centre of the story. Actually, it reminds me time and time again of what Paul said in his letters. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the answer. In my mid-20s, I was engaged. However, my fiancé of the time broke the engagement off. And as you'd imagine, I was devastated. And like the psalmist, I experienced my moment of exile. I was bewildered and perplexed and desperately hurt and upset, and I cried out. But I tried to resolve and ease the pain through partying and alcohol and some wild living. And that went on for many months, and it took a long time for the pain to go away and for me to get back on the straight and narrow. I stayed in the first half of that psalm. A few years later, I was going out with another girl, a gorgeous person. And after a few months, that girl again began to wonder whether we were right for each other. And in fact, she ended up breaking off the relationship. Again, I was left bewildered and hurt. But by then, I had matured a little bit and I had a little bit more story with the Lord. And within the sort of following 24 hours of that breakup of that relationship, I fixed my eyes on the Lord. I went back and placed myself into the hinge of that psalm and said, actually, I'm going to trust God. I now can put my trust into God and know that he's got the very best for me. He knows what is the best for us as a couple. And if we're not supposed to be together, then there's someone else out there for me that's the right person. And very quickly, I was able to set my emotions aside and to trust God and get back on and living. I chose to live that psalm and to engage with the hinge of that psalm, to fix my eyes on God and to move into a place of worship and praise and to remember who God is. Now, wonderfully, 8 months later, I married that very special girl and she's very wise. So that's the bonus of that story. But I had to go through that exile and that journey of this psalm. But this, as I begin to come to an end, this all reminds me of Matthew 6, where Jesus is teaching on do not worry. Do not worry because God knows what we need. And so Jesus says, fix your eyes on the kingdom of God and righteousness, and then God will give you everything that you need. It's again that call to fix our eyes on Jesus, to fix our eyes, meditate on the things of God, and he will give us all that we need to get through the times of exile. And he will give you what you need in your times of exile. So let me draw to a close and to remind you of those two key things that I think we can take away from this psalm and the teaching this morning. The first thing is encourage you to pour out your emotions. Be fully human when you talk to God. That's the good, the bad, the joys, the hurt, screaming, shouting, dancing, celebrating, laughing. Pour it all out. I encourage you to be fully yourself before God. And the second thing is to remember that hinge within the psalm. Not to stay in that place of exile, stay overwhelmed by the circumstances around you, but to make a choice, and it is a choice, to say, God, I will fix my eyes on you and that you will carry me through. To start with praise and worship and to remember the goodness of God, and he will lead you through the times of exile. So let me finish in prayer, and then that's going to take us into a further time of some worship. So Lord Jesus, thank you that you made us emotional and feeling people. Thank you for the example of the psalmists, who are an example to us as to how we can express ourselves. Help us this week to step into new ways of expressing ourselves to you in our emotions, in our prayers, and in our conversations with you. And help us to fix our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. And can I encourage you this week to step out into new areas of expression? That'll be uncomfortable. But encourage you to do that. And that's how we will grow, by experimenting. And if we're in our own place, spaces at home, that's a great place to experiment and to try. There's no judgment, just times with the Lord. And he wants to be with you. So let us stand and continue to worship our great and glorious God. Amen.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time of worship this morning, so thank you for being with us. As we often say in these online services, if you aren't part of a church community, then do connect with one if you can, because it's not about being alone. This is about being part of community with all its good and bad parts. So if you want to connect up and talk to Dave or Peter, our vicar, or anybody else, please get online and check out the website and the Facebook page. And let us just sort of close now as we bring our sort of concluding thoughts. As we just sung, I guess my desire anyhow, is to allow my faith to arise. And so in this coming week, we just lift our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers now and ask God to bless us. So, Lord God, for some time, many of your people have been in isolation. And for them, the lack of physical touch has been profound. And for others, Father, the lack of a spiritual touch has been hard to bear. So, Father God, we ask you now to bless us by touching us in our deepest place. Holy Spirit, we invite you to remind us of your mighty deeds, to minister to us, to replace our own selves with yourself. And may our hearts be renewed this week so we see the world through your eyes, Jesus. Amen. And we look forward to seeing some of you joining us for coffee on Zoom, which you can find the details of on the website. Blessings to you all.